This session we're going to be more practical. The first session we laid out the scriptures as our foundation for what we're sharing. And if you missed that session, please get one of these guys. And that we just spent about an hour and 15 minutes going through the Word of God, trying to allow the Lord's Word to be our basis for what we're sharing. And the second session, which was on faith, we were trying to bridge the gap between the information in the Word and how we can access that in a practical way in our walk, because the theme is walking in the Spirit. So this session, Lord willing, by the Spirit and grace of God, we'll talk a little bit about how this works in our daily lives in practical ways, and which is a great time to close for personal ministry and prayer. So if you're wanting to actually bring this into your walk with Jesus and learn how to take some practical steps and apply this in your life, then that's what the time afterwards is for, to get that ministry with the teams or with anyone. You know, we're all here. We're all the body of Christ, and we can pray for each other, and all of us are available to stand together. But the discussion groups, people, you may feel comfortable with some of those leaders too, whoever. And I'll start with this song. It's I'm a New Creation. It's kind of hoedown Texas style, but I thought after I shared, we might, go up all so into taking our steps that we didn't want to sing a hoedown song, so here I go. See, I got it. The words are, I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man, or woman, but you know. Old things are passed away, I've been born again, more than a conqueror, that's what I am. I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man, or woman. I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man.
I'm a brand new man.
I'm a brand new man. I'm a new creation. I'm a new creation. we go. This last one is about the Word of God first, and then how to apply that to our thought life, which begins to affect our walk. So, we're just going to start with some scriptures on the Word of God. And we talked about how the natural man receiveth not. And that was 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. And the natural man receiveth not, that natural man being the senses. We discussed that in our first class. The man of the senses, the soulish way of understanding our world and ourselves and others. That natural man does not receive. But the spiritual man does. And therefore, we have to learn how to receive the Word of God with the inward man of the heart, and not just with our intellect and our feelings and our personal understanding of things, which is pretty basic. But the Word of God will not make sense or be able to be received as spirit and life when we're understanding it with our own minds. And so we have to have the mind of Christ and allow our minds to be renewed by the Spirit and the Word. And these scriptures are in Romans chapters 12, verses 1 through 2. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. And also James chapter 1 in verse 21. And I'm just going to read Romans 12, 1 through 2 to start with. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And here you see the two different practical changes that happen when we begin to have a relationship with God based on a living faith in His active Word. Something happens when we go with our senses, and we believe what we see, and we embrace our emotions as our identity, and we yield to our weird thoughts and our carnal thoughts, we begin to be conformed to the world. Mm-hmm. And what does that look like in our walk when we're being conformed to the world? Ugly. Does everyone say ugly? What does that look to our friends? Ugly. What does that look to our husband or wife? Ugly. Yeah, so we don't want to be conformed to the world. We want to be transformed. That's what happens when that caterpillar turns into the butterfly. But how does that happen? It's by the renewing of the mind. And so the mind is renewed by the washing of the water of the Word. So there's a relationship that our minds have to begin to have with God that allows them to be transformed, begin to transform us. And that renewal of the mind comes by the Word of God. Okay, because we're replacing our carnal thoughts with His spiritual reality. And so there's a relationship we begin to build with the Word, but it's not based on receiving with the natural man. Because the natural man can't receive that Word that is spirit and life. So we have to allow, it was what Alana said in her testimony, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to begin to open up the Word and show us Christ in a way that that Word is living. And that Word begins to wash us with living water, wash us with the living Christ. And that Word becomes something that fills our hearts and our beings and changes us into that same image from glory to glory, like 2 Corinthians chapter 3 speaks of. So there's a new definition, but that definition is a relationship that we begin to build with things that maybe were kind of dead or kind of one-dimensional or just doctrinal. We begin to allow God Himself to fill them, to fill our faith, to fill His Word, to fill how that Word affects us, because we're His body now. I mean, there's one thing if you talk to someone who's far away from you and you tell them to do something, right? They may or they may not do it because they've got their own mind. But if you tell your finger to do this, it's going to do it because why? It's connected to the head. So the Word that comes forth, if you will, through life, by a life union that my head has with the members of my body, it's transmitted by a living flow. It goes through the whole body and causes it to respond. So if my relationship with the Word is as a student, or as an onlooker, or as someone who's trying to gain something and be good enough, there's no life union that's transmitting it into me, that's making it living, right? But if this is the Word of my head, Jesus is the head of the church. Doesn't it say that in Colossians? For he is above all things, and before by him all things consist. He is the head, the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. That's Colossians chapter 1. If he is the head of the church, and we are his body, then the fullness of him that filleth all, as the scriptures declare, then when the head says something to me, and the word in the Bible is the word of my head, Jesus the head of the church, then that puts life into me, because I'm connected. It's not someone telling me to get better, and I have to tell my body to get better. It's the head saying, this is who we are. This is the life you've received. You're one, you're connected, the branch and the vine are joined, and all the life that's in Jesus the head, that living word begins to flow, and it washes over us, and it renews us, and it transforms us until there is a complete metamorphosis, like what happens to the caterpillar, and that is what the Greek is of that word transformed in Romans chapter 12, be metamorphosized by the renewing of your mind. Literally, there's a metamorphosis that's meant to happen in Christians, where we're not crawling around like caterpillars. But we literally are transformed from the inside out, metamorphosized by the living Word of God that is Christ in us. And the old dead creation falls away, and the old ways of understanding ourselves and the old ways of understanding others begin to fall off like dead skin. What is it? Put off the old man and put on the new man, it says in Colossians. We begin to put off that old creation, those old ways, those old dead things that are no longer our identity in life. And we put on that new man, and we're renewed in the spirit of our minds. Mm-hmm. And that new creation starts to change us. Mm-hmm. And even in all of this, I'm still laying a scriptural premise for this transformation process. We're going to get even more practical. Because even at this point, it's still kind of ethereal, heady, you know, scripturally correct, yet. Now what do I do when I'm freaking out, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so our first step, our first practical step, though there's not instantaneous change, is to change our relationship with God's Word. Mm-hmm. And we change that relationship by identifying with it because we're one with Jesus. It's the Word of the head. It's the Word of the life. It's the Word that we're one with. It's our Word because it is Christ, the living Word, who lives in us. Therefore, every word we claim as our own because we are identified with it. We are in the Word. We are one with the Word. The living Word is in us. There's a union there. And then we decide to make that Word our final authority. We don't mix it up. We don't go, you know, I'm going to believe the Lord up to here, but then I'm going to mingle in a little bit of my opinion and what my senses say and what other people think. And, you know, we begin to make the Word of God preeminent. He is preeminent. It says that in Colossians. I got to look up the scripture because it's just, he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head, the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. Mm-hmm. That's what it says. That why is he the head of the? This is Colossians chapter 1, 17, 18-ish. Why is he the head? That in all things he might have the preeminence, because he is the head in the fullness of the church, that is his body. He might have preeminence in everything. Therefore, his word is preeminent. His word is the final authority. What we see is not the final authority. What we think is not the final authority. What we reason is not the final authority. What our head declares, because he is preeminent. He is the head. He is Lord. He is enthroned in heavenly places. He is God, right? We let his word have all preeminence in us, the body. And see, it's different then because it applies to our soul. It doesn't just apply to our doctrines. His word is preeminent, therefore I believe that's true. No, his word is preeminent, therefore soul, be quiet. Therefore thought life, no, no, no. You're not Jesus, you're not head, you're not Lord, you're not preeminent. I cast you down. Mm. Everything that exalteth itself above the knowledge of God, we cast down. What scripture is that? 2 Corinthians 10:8. Let's go there. That's where we begin to move into the practical. 2 Corinthians 10:8. 10:5, 2 Corinthians 10:5. And, you know, we're going to hear a couple testimonies before we end, but the Word of God becomes so much more precious and so much more real when we begin to embrace it in the spirit of being His body and being the vessel of His life. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. What is the knowledge of God? That spirit realm reality. And bringing it into captivity, every single thought to the obedience of Christ. And so this is the good fight of faith. And it says that in verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. What does carnal mean? Fleshly, earthly. Yeah, the sensual realm of the soul. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So if we use these weapons, we can literally pull down areas in our life that have been built up as lies that run our lives, that overrun our thoughts, that take over our emotions. We can begin to pull those down by having this relationship where we do not go with the sense realm, but we embrace the spirit realm as our identity. I mean, this works. We're going to have a couple testimonies before we end here, but I'm a testimony. Hey, you know, I'm still a testimony in process, but this works. These are the weapons God gave us. You know, there's courses where you can go to and it's like, well, here's the 10 steps to whatever. I don't know what. Whatever. But these are God's steps. These are the steps He gave us in His Word. Verse 3, I know I'm going backwards, but I'm just trying to show how it all is of one mind. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war in the flesh. In other words, we're down here and we've got all this stuff around us and we've got all these issues in our lives, but we are not after the flesh. We're after the Spirit. We're after the Spirit. We're new creations. We're a new creature in Christ. We're not of this. We're of Him. And therefore, our weapons aren't after the flesh. So we don't go around and try to change our mind or try to fix our emotions or try to convince people that everything's okay. Our weapons are spiritual. We change realms. That's a really big thing. We change realms. I am not going to live and move and have my being in the realm of the flesh, in the realm of the carnal, in the realm of the temporal, in the realm of beneath. It's earth. All those words are used in the scriptures. I'm going to move to His realm. And I'm going to identify in Christ. And I'm going to walk in the Spirit where He is my head, where His life is my identity, where His word is preeminent, where the truth is the truth as it is in Jesus. And I'm going to press past all of my fears and all of my thoughts and all of my perceptions and my hurt feelings, and I'm going to, by faith, press into the bosom of Jesus, just like John did. Remember at the Last Supper, he was just pressing, he's laying. You know, I'm going to press into His heart. I'm going to press into His view. The knowledge of God is going to be preeminent to me. And everything else I'm going to cast down. Well, it says that there's a violence in taking the kingdom. We take it by force. Salvation is free, right? But the disciples had a cost. And when the kingdom of God is getting established in us, which is Christ Himself becoming Lord inside as our life, you've got to fight for that. You don't have to earn it because Jesus did that on the cross. But if you want to embrace it as your own, you're going to have to fight everything that's trying to grab it away from you. And most of that is even our own fears. I mean, there's things in our lives where maybe someone, a teacher at school, or our father, or someone that we just so admired, spoke a word into our lives that was like a knife that just pierced into our soul. And it was a word like, you're worthless. And it just went in. Do you know, and because it was someone you looked up to, it really took root in your heart. And ever since maybe you were 5 years old, this word became a word of identity to you. It entered in. It was grafted into you. And you began to walk growing up, I'm worthless. I'm worthless. I'm a failure. And any time someone asked you to do something, that word would echo in your mind. I'm worthless. I'm a failure, you know. And so you'd kind of begin to mold and craft your identity around that. And it changed the way you viewed yourself. It changed the way you believed and you could do things. It stunted your growth. You know, it affected your growth process as a person. And it began to define who you were. But where did that start from? a source that wasn't God. Mm-hmm. Now, if your teacher heard from the Lord and spoke from the Lord's heart, this is you're a new creation in Christ, and you embrace, you know, that's different. It isn't. It's what was the source that person got their information from? Was it God? Was that the word of God concerning you? And if it wasn't the word of God, then don't embrace it as your identity. Okay, so everyone's going, well, it's a little too late. You're about 35 years too late. Okay, I know, me too. So what do we do now? Well, we start reversing the thing. We start pulling these strongholds down. And that's where it gets practical, but that's where everything we've been talking about and learning up to this point, we can begin to apply in our lives every day, sometimes every minute, and it will transform us. That metamorphosis will happen. Our mind will be renewed, and something will replace that identity that was so debilitating, that began to define us. Instead of being members of Christ, instead of being a new creature filled with life, we began to be conformed to the world in the areas that the world spoke identity into us. Well, the world isn't our identity. And the source that isn't from God is not our truth. And we have the choice, because God gave us a free will, to determine what we allow inside. We don't have to receive that. We can receive the word of God just because it was spoken, just because it was presented to our senses through the ear gate, through the eye gate. It doesn't have to be received as identity. It doesn't mean it won't hurt. Words hurt. Things hurt. But that hurt doesn't have to move into a wound that begins to receive lies and get poisoned. And so this is the way that these things can be practical. And if we're just going to look at one scripture. It's James 1:21. And it's a scripture that deals with the word of God, but it's what James calls the engrafted word. Mm-hmm. And that's basically the word of God that is received inside really deep. So it becomes our word. It's our identity word. It's an if you look up the word engrafted, it's grafted into us. It's joined in life. And it says in James 1:21, wherefore lay apart or lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. I'm not even sure what that means, but let's go on. And receive with meekness the engrafted word, and which is able to save your souls. So the engrafted word, the word that you receive deep inside as identity, that can save your soul. Well, I'm not talking about your eternal, your immortal soul that was saved at new birth from going to hell, and you know, you were saved at new birth in that way, but we're talking about the soul that's our mind, our will, our emotions, our thought life. That soul that's been all messed up with things people have said and identities that we've received that weren't from God. That soul can be saved by the engrafted word of God that declares who you really are in Christ. And if you receive God's word in a way that is grafted into your heart as your identity, and you cast down those thoughts and those identities and those ways that you've been viewed, those ways you thought of yourself that weren't God's knowledge of you, then your soul will begin to be transformed. And the Lord will begin to form you according to His image. And Christ will begin to define who you are. And Christ will fill your personality instead of the poison from those wounds and the hurts from those false things that were spoken over you or given to you. And you will be changed by Him. So can you see the process? Mm-hmm. Now there's just in this class that was written by my pastor, there's an actual breakdown of usually how a thought can turn into a stronghold. And I'll just read it really quickly here. Because it usually doesn't start with just this huge stronghold. Like someone says something to you and you're like, that's it, I'm going into depression for the rest of my life because this is who I am. It's a process. And a lot of times we want to blame the process on the external things in our lives that push at us, right? But we have spiritual weapons. God has not left us defenseless. God has given us methods in which we can protect ourselves, in which we can determine what gets in. Amen? Otherwise, you know, we would just be victims of this. But we're not. God has given his family these spiritual weapons to protect ourselves and to be with Him. And so in the building process, it usually starts with a thought. Okay, like someone said something to me, and we start thinking about it, and the thought goes beyond just something that we randomly pass through in our mind to a reasoning. You know what? I reckon they're right. I mean, look at this, look at that, look at how I am, look at these areas in my life. I mean, I really am worthless. I'm a loser. I'm not worth anything. Who would even like me? I'm just stupid. We start reasoning through it, and we believe it. After we reason for a while, we go, man, that's true. I am a loser. I am really worthless. I believe this. So then we start walking around. Anytime something happens where we fail, we go through this whole reasoning. Well, it's true. I'm sorry I did that because I'm a loser. I'm worthless. You know, this is just the way I am. Until there's such a huge identity built in our heart and mind that really nothing can get through it anymore. You know, someone can just love you to bits and see all your potential and believe in you to the nines, and you just go, you're wrong, I'm a loser. Mm-hmm. They just can't get through. And you go, man, why do you think that? Everybody who sees you knows you're not a loser. You've got so much potential. The Lord made you with so many beautiful gifts, and look at you. Why do you think this? I really don't know why I think it, but I know I believe it. You know, we can't go back and see where that came from. Our relationship with things that were coming from the Lord, our relationship with the sense realm, our identification with things that were coming from the Word of God, and our union with Christ, all of that affects us. It affects the people around us. It's powerful. And so we have to start asking the Lord, Lord, when did I let that in? When did I let that word become engrafted in my heart that wasn't coming from you? When did that root and ground inside of me in such a manner that became a belief system that formed into a stronghold that I can hardly penetrate anymore? No one can get past. Well, the Lord, by His Spirit, can show us, you know, hey, this is where you started to open your heart to a source that wasn't my Son, in my word, in my thoughts, in my knowledge. And it's not a counseling session where we're trying to open up old wounds and self-analyze. What we try to do is replace that with God's Word. And that's the practical thing. We don't just become like Adam and Eve and look at our nakedness and analyze it. We ask the whole Lord, Lord, where did I embrace an identity that did not come from you? That's it right there. When and where did I embrace an identity that didn't come from you? But we don't stop there. What is your mind concerning my identity in this area? So we replace it with the Word of God. We replace it with the Word of our head, with the Word of our life, with the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we walk in it. We walk in it every time something comes up that says, oh, see? You really are a loser. I mean, the next day, someone can come up and say, you're a loser, you're worthless, I am sure of it, because look at this. And that's when you practice and you go, the Word of God says, I am accepted in the Beloved, I am cherished, I am a member of the risen Christ, I have value, you know what I'm saying? And you take the thought that came from that old source, that lie, you cast it down like the Scriptures just told us to do in 2 Corinthians, and you embrace the engrafted word of the living Christ's mind, the knowledge of God concerning you, and you embrace it with a faith that is active, with a faith that is coming from your heart. And that begins to transform you. That begins a change. Now, there's something that usually happens in between rejecting those old false identities and embracing your true identity in Christ. And it's called broken ground. And this is extremely important because many people who have strongholds are serious. I mean, people commit suicide because of strongholds. I mean, they do all the time because that stronghold has become so powerful in them that they really believe they're hopeless. And no one can convince them that they're not. That's a stronghold. And they kill themselves. That's a stronghold. When you're getting a stronghold torn down, it's not just like having a cup of tea with someone and reading scriptures to each other. It's serious. And the main thing that keeps a stronghold from coming down is the condition of someone's ground, the condition of the ground of their heart, like Jesus spoke of in Matthew 13. There is a brokenness, and I speak this from major personal experience, there is a brokenness that is required in us to receive that God's word is true. Something in us has to say, you know what, I just am not the know-it-all about this area. I so believe inside of my own soul that I am worthless. Something in me has to be willing to think that maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I don't know everything yet as I ought. Maybe I'm blind in this area. Maybe my view isn't the final view of me. See, that's a brokenness. I am willing to break with this false concept. It sounds simple in theory. It's really hard when you're dealing with a personal stronghold. I am willing to break with this false concept is huge. And before you can go truly to the engrafted word of your identity in Christ, you have got to break with that false identity. You have got to say, maybe I'm not right. Holy Spirit, show me. Show me that this isn't really what you think of me. I am willing to be wrong. And you can't make someone do that. I am so hard-headed that many times the Lord has to prove to me over and over again, see, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. There's something more that you didn't see. You don't know everything. I know more than you. Open up to me. Open up to my word. I want to share something with you that you haven't experienced yet. There is a need for brokenness, for good ground. Because he's going to try to sow the seed of his living word into you. And if your ground is so hardened by that stronghold, you will not allow it to enter. Your ground will not be pliable. You've got to break and say, maybe this belief system is wrong. I'm not saying it is. I can't let go of it yet. I still feel it. But I am open to being wrong. Just give him that much, just that little tiny bit. And the Holy Spirit in gentleness and love can come in and begin to open our heart to his view by his Spirit and make those words living. And that's the first step to taking down a stronghold, like it speaks of in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. That's practical. You don't get any more practical than that. Once you've done that, once you're open, once you begin, you start walking. You start walking in the truth. You start casting them down as they come and embracing him and engrafting it. You start receiving with faith based on your heart and not your head, based on your spirit and not your senses, based on the truth and not this earthly way of seeing. And you apply it. It's that simple, but it's that hard, but it's that simple. I don't know how else to say it because, you know, it really is tough when you've been struggling with something. But the good news is that we have Jesus in us.
Amen.
And we have the Holy Spirit as our comforter. Amen. And we have God as our Father. Amen. And the truth is the truth. We're not trying to make this true. We're just trying to embrace it with faith so we can own it as our own. And so, you know, we are surrounded with the Godhead. We're surrounded with brothers and sisters who love us and will fight for us and will believe God and pray God for us. And so together we walk, and it's a process that continues on the rest of our lives. It's not just a one-time thing. The Holy Spirit's always taking more ground. The Lord's always wanting to grow in more areas in us. So that's okay, right? We're in this together. We're in it for the long haul. So before we break into groups of ministry, I just wanted to ask Jill to maybe give a testimony, and then Raphael. And then we'll close with some prayer. But, you know, while they're sharing, while we're finishing up, jot down the areas that you would like prayer in, that you would like some maybe counseling in or questions about, any practical ministry that we can do as we finish our last discussion group, that we can just bless and minister to you in.
I'm really just giving a really quick example of what some of this looks like. For some of you, might be aware, I'm actually a nurse, believe it or not, in the daytime. And for me, like even while I was training with my nursing, between a few different incidents and different things that happened along the way, by the time I got to my final year, when I used to walk into the hospital in the morning, I'd feel nauseous with the thought that happened to be there for the day. I didn't enjoy it, I didn't like it. And it was a struggle every day going in. And it was quite easy then after that. I went into ministry for a while, and I was working actually in this church for a year, and a few other things, and always kind of did a bit of nursing on the side, shall we say. But I can still remember on some occasions I'd be going down to where I'm working and I'd be praying in the car, "Dear Lord, nobody die today." You know, me included. You know, it was really torturous. And I went to Bible college then and spent 5 years there. And in my last week in Bible college, literally this job landed on my lap. I mean, I couldn't have ordained it. I couldn't have tried to have it came about. I mean, everyone knows in this economic climate, I got offered a permanent contract. Like, they're unheard of. You know, and I kind of was just like, and I remember sitting in the car, and most people would have thought, "Oh, you must have been delighted." I wasn't. I cried. You know, because I was like, and it was just like, I felt like my world was collapsing around me, absolutely, because the way I looked, I was being placed back into this environment where I just had so many memories, so many things were, and I was getting so, so anxious just the thought of it. I mean, I could physically feel my chest tightening, and it was definitely not a cardiac arrest. And it was really, really hard. And kind of around this time, Kelly and the team were over, so thankfully I had a week or two buffer before I actually had to start work. And kind of within that time, I had been in America for 3 months, so some of the things, some of the areas that were strongholds in my life were beginning to kind of become a bit more clear at that time, and particularly the week I spent with these guys before I started to nurse. And it was like one of those light bulbs went off, as a bit like Kelly, I'm a bit of a slow learner, it takes me a while to realise those things. And I really realised that I was absolutely like held by the juggler by fear and anxiety. I mean, to the point that I would physically feel it. And I'm generally a chilled out person, but I'd feel it in my chest. You know, and even kind of, you know, having to go to work, with the thoughts of going to work, I'd be like, even the night before, I'd be beginning to get a bit anxious. And that was a process for me in realizing what was going on, that it wasn't just me freaking out. And that was the start of it. And it was interesting, just before I finished up in Bible college, I actually had to do a talk on a passage, and it came back. And you know when you read one of those verses and it like hits you,
yeah,
like kind of here? And I'll read it to you and you'll see why it hit me here. It says, For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And I just kind of went, no. You know, and it just hit me. I said, this anxiety, this fear, this is not of God. Like, it was so clear that God had really ordained this job, and that's a whole other story. And I knew this was of God, and yet I was feeling so anxious and so fearful all the time. And that, for me, was just, that word just was like, boom. So I was like, okay, all right. First step, we've identified, I'm anxious and I'm nervous, I've identified through God's word that this is not for me. So that was the starting process for it, and in that case, for me it really was a stronghold. And so when those guys were back over again in June, we prayed just really, really specifically into those areas. And I, at this stage, had started that job and was, you know, mulling my way through, but by the time I went back after that, you know, it was a completely different, you know, environment. I mean, things still happen in nursing, you know, things do go wrong, and peg tubes come out in the middle of the night, and random things happen, you know, but, you know, it's different. It's, you know, it's not, I'm not approaching them now with this constant kind of thing going on. It's like, okay, you know what, I'm here, God's placed me here, if he has me here, he's going to equip me to do this. Mm-hmm. You know, he's given me his spirit in me that I'm going to be able to do, come up with whatever I have to face in this, and it's such a mind shift, you know. But it was really great just kind of seeing Kelly talk through that process, because for me it was quite like that. It was that identifying. It was seeing what God's word was actually saying, kind of going, okay, we're going to go with this, and then just getting prayer to really consolidate, just, you know, to hold it and keep it going. Mm-hmm. So that was me.
Thank you,
a bit like Melissa, I didn't expect to be brought up there. But I it's with work. Dear to me, I would have, I work in a hotel, I work as a receptionist. It's like early shifts, late shifts. Anybody else could do it, but for me, it's just hits me with everything I don't like. And when it was just one of the scriptures that hit me there, and it was, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, that my strongholds are stronghold, that what my eye has always perceived, and what my ear has always heard, and what has always entered in my heart, you know, but God has something more than all of that. And am I willing to open to that when I'm in my workplace? That what always my eyes say and always my ears say. And that the things which God had prepared for them that love him. And I think after that it says, you know, and God, and the Spirit of God searches the deep things of God and reveals that to us. And when we open like that, the Spirit of God can come and bring those words that have come to light to us when we've been reading the Bible just for 5 minutes or five seconds, and brings that, and that becomes our word of identity. And I just wanted to share what, like, I suppose what has just fed me today, do you know what I mean? It's like, but it was like he said to me last night when I was just meditating, it was just like, you know, a farmer goes out and when he goes and plants the seed, but before he plants the seed, there's nothing in the ground. And in the stronghold, in this area, there's nothing in the ground. There's nothing there.
That's right.
But when I open up and go, you know, I'm not going to believe what my eye has always seen. I'm not going to believe what my ear or my heart says or my brain says. I'm going to receive you, Holy Spirit. And he's directly there and he's bringing that word to me, that word of identity that spoke to me today. Or, do you know what I mean? It could be something like, I'm accepted, I'm complete in Christ. I'm going to hold on to that and say nothing. And the clouds are there and everything else can come. Do you know what I mean? But, you know, and but the tractor of the Holy Spirit is over me and he's put that seed in me. Do you know what I mean? And that's what makes God God.
Yeah.
That's what makes God God, because he makes something out of nothing. Do you know what I mean? And actually, the person who brought that to me was at Rebecca's son Jonathan when he was 6 years old. He said, how can God make something out of nothing? And he told me, and I said, he brought it out of me, you know. And that was really it, do you know what I mean? And it's encouraging that God's so real that way, do you know what I mean? And that's really it.
Wow. Just take over, guys. Oh, that was awesome. Thank you, Lord. I was ministered to. Whew. Praise God. So I think now is our time to pray and ask the Lord to give us an opportunity to minister to one another and take our first step together in the areas he's been opening our hearts to today. And those two testimonies were just perfect segues into the prayer time. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And before we pray, I want to say thank you, Sar, and thank you, Jill, and thank you, Joy, and thank you, everybody here, for allowing us to come and be your servants. And you're the apple of his eye. You're the ones he loves. That's why we came, and we came because you're precious to him. And so he sent us to you because of his love. And we appreciate this opportunity to be with you. Thank you. Father, thank you that it's your word, it's your spirit, it's your son, it's your reality. We're just here together as your family, just trying to hold on to you and know you and not allow the darkness of this, or the lies, the old dead things that have clung to us when we've been brought into new life, to hold on anymore, Lord. Identities coming from words that were spoken based on things that were not from your heart, Lord. We don't want to hold those inside anymore. We don't want to be conformed to those lies. We want to be transformed by our minds receiving the beauty of your reality in Christ. Lord, we're not sufficient. This isn't something we can earn. This is not a work of the flesh. Father, this is a walk in the Spirit. This is a joining with you as one in embracing the reality of your heart and of your life in us and the truth of your word. And oh, Lord, the living union of it all is beyond human man's. It's beyond our expression. It is expressed through love. Father, I ask that you cover each one. And the words that you've spoken and the things that you've shared with them would not be stolen by the evil one. Father, he can only steal by the sense realm. He's the God of this world. But he has no place in the realm of Christ. So we don't give him place, neither do we allow his weapons to work. We stay with you. Lord, we ask that you would, by your Spirit, put these seeds into our ground. Soften us, Holy Spirit, so we can open. If we're too hard from strongholds to open right now, you're patient. and you're here, you're with us. Mm. Have your way in our lives, starting now, but until it's finished, as long as it takes, Lord. Mm. You're not worried. You love us. Mm. So we commend this to you. We commend this to you, and we thank you for meeting with us today, Lord. We thank you for meeting with us today. Mm. Bless this people and bless this place. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Amen.